Well, I want to start this morning just by saying happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you guys have had a good weekend so far. I was with some of our young adults yesterday. We played football in the driving rain. It's wonderful. Great Thanksgiving tradition. Really enjoyed it, but I hope you're all enjoying the weekend. And I think on Thanksgiving, we often have a few more visitors. So Pastor Stephen already welcomed you, but I just again want to say welcome. We're so glad you're here. I hope you are enjoying your time here. I know maybe you're not used to going to a place and singing on a Sunday. Not a lot of people do that except for in church, but we sing because we believe it. We sing because we believe that God has spoken to us, that Jesus has died for our sins, and that he is here now. And so I hope that you experience just a taste of the presence of God here today, because that's what we're here for. That's what we believe. And that's what God has done in our lives. But just want to say thank you. We're so glad that you've joined us this morning. And I'm excited. I'm excited to share. And in fact, I'm sharing an unexpected continuation in a story that I shared back in November to this congregation. And most of you that have been part of the church, of course, know what I'm going to talk about. But maybe if you don't, just want to let you know that I'm sharing a bit of a surprise continuation. Not surprising when you think about who God is and what he can do, but a little bit surprising in terms of what we expected. So the preparation for me when I want to talk about, you know, when I want to share, when I'm speaking on, especially on a Sunday morning, but even Fridays, the preparation is often kind of a collecting or gathering a set of loose thoughts that have been kind of hanging around and clanking around in my head. I've known for probably about 6 weeks that I was going to speak here this morning, October 9th. And ever since then, and Pastor Jim talked with us and said, here's the series. We're on a series from 1 Corinthians on spiritual gifts. And the one I'm talking about is miracles or miraculous powers. And so I've been thinking for quite a while, maybe you talk about this, maybe talk about this. And so when I sit down to prepare a talk, it's a collection of loose ideas that I'm trying to kind of give coherence to, trying to give some semblance of order to. In fact, that kind of really summarizes my life in a lot of ways. Just a loose collection of interests and stuff and trying to like give some coherence, you know, to it. But one idea really stood out to me as I was preparing today. And it's a very simple one, but it's been on my mind, it's been on my heart, it's been really getting me the last little while. It's very simple. If you have grown up in the church, you probably are almost so familiar with it that sometimes it's easy to stop really thinking about it. And it's this simple thought that Jesus was a real person, you know, fully God, fully man. He existed in history. And Jesus died, but now he's not dead anymore. That Jesus died, but he's not dead anymore. He came back to life. And I want to share that thought with you because it kind of frames what I'm going to talk about today as we look at this idea of miracles. Because I think it's a very simple idea, but it's a life-changing, world-changing truth. And it's very powerful. And so we'll come back to it at the end. Because my story, because I'm going to share my story, has been one of God doing miracles, of bringing life where there really was no life in my life. And so just keep that thought in mind, just tuck it away somewhere. Jesus was dead, but now he's alive. And before we start, maybe Tara, I'll bring you up now. I want to introduce you to my son Carter. We're going to talk about him a little bit. So most of you maybe have seen him before. But he's sleeping now, so I want to introduce him while he's nice and peaceful, so you all think he's a perfect little angel. But this is Carter. He is 14 weeks old today. Sure. Hey, buddy. He's my little Carter melon. That's what I call him. And so he was born on July 3rd, on a Sunday, in fact. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that story, but just wanted to introduce him. So here he is. I hope you can see him. He's very feisty. He's a fun little guy. We're going to dedicate him in a couple months here, but there he is. Hi, little guy. Okay, before you wake up, there you go. Back to mom. There. Hi. See you later. Yeah, he's awake now. Oh, boy. Now the trouble starts. But I did want to introduce you to him because he is such an integral part of the story I'm going to share. And so that's Carter. And I want to share a passage that really has always meant a lot to me, but has become more significant as we've experienced what we've experienced in our lives. And it's Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Some of you have heard me share this story before. And it's Paul, he's talking about Abraham, and he says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations." So Abraham, he's talking about, he's our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. But this is the part that really has always stood out to me. "The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not." In my translation, it says, "calls things that are not as though they were." This is the God we serve, a God who brings life from the dead and calls things that are not into being. So I want to share that verse. And again, sort of this idea that Jesus was dead and he's alive now, this passage that God is a life-bringing God, that's going to frame what we're going to talk about here. So let me get into the immediate kind of context of our series. We're talking about spiritual gifts. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm on verse 10, but I asked Christine to put the whole passage up here. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, the Holy Spirit, for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit." And we've been talking about some of these gifts. Okay, so we can go to verse 10. "To another miraculous powers." And that's what we're going to talk about today. "To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits or discernment. Speaking in tongues. Interpretation of tongues. The interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." So that's what we're talking about, that God, when we come to know Jesus, we can be filled with God's Spirit, and God gives us gifts to impact both the church and the world. We have supernatural giftings from God. It's nothing I've done. It's nothing you do. It's the Holy Spirit who speaks through us, and that's what we're talking about. And so what I want to do today is take sort of a narrow view of miraculous powers, what it's talking about in this context. I always like to do that. I'm kind of a teacher by heart, and so I like to teach you things. Okay, so we'll do that first. And then I want to look at the wider view of miracles and my experience of that and my experience of a miracle-working God. I want to share that story with you. So first, let's look at the passage, miracles, in 1 Corinthians 12, 10. The Greek here, because this was written in Koine Greek, let me see if I can pronounce this right. It's been a while since I've been in Greek class. Energemata dunameon, which literally means energe, where we get energy, means work, okay? Workings, it's a plural, of miracles. And the word dunamis, which is where this comes from, actually means power, right? Dunamis means power. And so it's these workings of power, these experiences of God moving in power in someone's life, because God has the power to change a situation, to heal a body, to raise life from the dead. Okay, so in this passage, we talk about workings, multiple workings of multiple miracles is happening. So it encompasses healing, and we've talked a little bit about healing, but it's also other things. I think of, even a couple weeks ago, Pastor Fred Ilian from Russia shared about this church that wanted to set up their church in the city in the Palace of Lenin, but they had no money, and so they prayed and they had a vision from God, and God miraculously provided the finances for them to build, or for them to occupy this building, to purchase it, right? We can talk about financials. We can talk about God rescuing us from situations, be they emotional or relationships, or be they even physical. I'm sure some of you have heard stories of people being just preserved in a car crash or that type of situation. I've actually had that experience once myself as well, where you really shouldn't have come out of that crash as well as you did. Sometimes those things happen. We've seen all kinds of experiences, and so God's heart for the church was not just healing, but working of miracles in so many different ways, driving out demons, of course. We've seen that in the New Testament and in our world as well, and I think Pastor Jim has mentioned that as well, that is a working of a miracle, God's power, an act of power, driving out the forces of darkness in a person's life, okay? So it's these workings of power in people's lives. So when we talk about the gift, when we talk about the gift of miracles, I'm not so sure that, I think some people have a unique gifting. I'm not so sure that I would go running off after anyone who claims to be a miracle worker, right? That they have some sort of a particular gift where it's, because it starts, you start to equate it with the person as a opposed to the Holy Spirit. I look at this a little bit more like we talked about faith, where there are moments where the Spirit gives you a gift to pray for someone or to speak into someone's life and work a miracle. Do some people experience that more than others? Probably, I would say. But again, the gift comes from God. It's never, we can never allow it to be too attached to our own person or our own personality, right? And so I believe that God has the gift of the working of miracles for you. And I think if we were to have people stand up, and unfortunately we don't have time to do this, but I bet if we had people stand up and share testimonies, we would probably hear many stories of God working miracles in people's lives, be they healing, physical healing, or other types of miracles. And so I just wanted to share, this is a short little teaching on this, but God is a worker of miracles, and God works through us, and so he gives the gifting to us of working a miracle. And so my encouragement to you would be, don't be afraid to pray for miracles, both in your own life and in others' lives. Don't be afraid to ask God to do something powerful. Don't be afraid to ask him to move. And maybe some of us, again, experience that more often than others. Pursue that. Keep praying for more miracles. Keep praying for God to do miracles. But that is a gift that God has for us, both for us inside the church and, I believe, outside the church as well, for people who need to know Jesus. Did you know that in the New Testament, the most common word for a miracle, especially in the book of John, is actually a sign? It's this word semeion, which means sign. Because miracles were meant to be, or were assumed to be, a signpost that is marking the kingdom of God is here. When you see these miracles, it means that the king has come. Jesus has come. The kingdom of God is now among us. Okay? And so, the story kind of goes that for many years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was this longing for God to work and do miracles. There was this longing. And when we meet Jesus in the New Testament, we run into so many people who are oppressed, who are physically ill, who are just in all kinds of trouble. And Jesus does all these miracles. And these miracles are not only, of course, changes in people's lives and freedom and God's heart for them, but they're also a declaration that things are going to be different, that the kingdom of God is here and it's advancing. And so I believe that the kingdom of God is here. I believe the kingdom of God is here in this church. I believe the kingdom of God is here in Richmond. We're not the only ones. There's many churches meeting today. The kingdom of God is here. And so we should expect to see the signs of that kingdom. Would you agree? Right. And so I believe that. And so I encourage you, don't be shy, don't be afraid to pray for a miracle. There's no formula to it. We don't always experience a miracle, I have to be honest. But don't be afraid to pray, for one, because God can do, and why not take the chance? Because God does miracles. God does miracles. So that is a little bit about the gift of miracles. I hope that's helpful. And now I want to share miracles in my own life, miracles in my own story. And we're going to kind of go into this a little bit more in depth. So I joined the staff of this church in September 2013. I had been spending 2 years studying for my master's degree, which, by the way, I am so close to finishing. I'm handing in my thesis in December. It's not technically an official thesis, but it's still like 120 pages, so it's long. But I'm handing it in this December, and I'm doing a distance course right now, and I'm finishing one in the fall or in the spring. So I'm really excited. Year of achievement. Yeah, thank you. Sometimes you just got to brag about it, right? But I'm excited about that. But anyways, I was doing my full-time school and then moved into this thesis process where I was half-time there, half-time at the church. So we joined this church in September 2013. Tara and I have now, as of November, actually been married for 9 years. We met in 2006. Probably a little bit earlier, but we connected in 2006. Got to know each other. We got married in 2007, and we had been to the point probably by about 2011, 2012, where we were ready. We wanted children. We really wanted children, and things were, not happening. But we thought, it just takes time. All these types of things. And so we just continued in our life and in our marriage and enjoyed being here and enjoyed our marriage and all that. And then we got pregnant. We got pregnant, I can't remember exactly when now. I think December-ish of 2013. And we were really excited, or maybe about January of 2014. We were really excited, and this is good. We've been praying, we've been looking forward to it, and almost immediately, Tara started bleeding, which sometimes happens in pregnancy, but it was pretty significant. It was a concern. And so we were praying so hard, and we just knew, okay, God, we want this baby. We're ready for this. We want to be parents. And within about probably a week and a half, 2 weeks of finding out we were pregnant, Tara lost the pregnancy. And that was just really crushing. It was crushing because we had been dreaming of this for so long. We had been trying so hard. And we lost this pregnancy. At the same time, Tara's family, there were some difficulties going on there. And it was really tough. And I won't get too much into the details there, but it was difficult. And there were difficulties going on at the church as well. And so there was uncertainty. Our pastor had resigned, previous pastor, and we were uncertain about the future there. And then, of course, at my school, I proposed a thesis proposal to do a full 12-credit thesis, and it was flatly rejected, like, really aggressively, like, am I actually qualified to do this? So all those things were going on at once, at the same time, and so we were going through a really dark time, and I just share all those details. I'm going to focus mostly on the one, on our child, but I wanted to share all those things because sometimes these things all come at once, right? These things all come at once. You're already maybe struggling financially, and there's a death in the family, or you're having problems in relationships, and then you're laid off your job. Like, these things tend to happen where it all happened at once, and so it was a really difficult time for us. And we were so thankful for RPC and the support we had. I know we have people praying for us and people that we could share with, but it was tough. It was really tough. And so through that and experiencing the miscarriage, of course, we said to ourselves, oh, well, we know we can get pregnant. This is great. You know, we know it can work, right? We know this works. And there was lots of hope and lots of positive energy, but it just wasn't happening again. We just weren't getting pregnant again. We kept trying, and it just wasn't working. And so finally, we went to see a doctor. We went to see first our kind of family doctor, and they recommended us to a fertility clinic in Vancouver. And we found out a couple things. First of all, through many ultrasounds, we found out that, and some of you heard this in November, but I'm going to share it again for those that aren't familiar. We found out that Tara only has half a uterus. She has something called unicornuate uterus. And so, whereas the uterus is usually like that, she has that. What we also didn't know at the time, we actually found out when Tara had a C-section because the doctor was so curious, the one ovary isn't actually attached to anything. It's just kind of floating. It's just there. It's there, but it's just not attached. So chances are decreased at least 50%, right? So we, you know, and they said, that's not a guarantee. That's not a death sentence to pregnancy, but it makes it more difficult. And then we found out that her, you know, hormones and egg health, and I'm not a scientist, I don't know the whole details, but it turned out that her body was not all that healthy in terms of eggs and fertility. And so we never got an official number, but we were made to understand very clearly that it's very unlikely that we will have children. It's very unlikely. And this was pretty devastating. You know, for me, I think there was part of me that I think as men in general, but you know, not all men, but I think for me at least, it was hard, but it was still like, okay, well, I can do these other things. I'm really engaged in my ministry. I have my youth family up here. They're all here. Always love seeing you guys in church. You know, I have all these people and things like that. But it was still difficult. It was still difficult. But for Tara, of course, it was devastating. No matter how much we, you know, have other interests and things, so much of identity, especially for women, can be wrapped up in that ability, at least, to bear children. It's just kind of the reality. And so that was so difficult. And I shared some of that in November, that we had been walking through a process of grief. We had been walking through a process of what we might call lamentation. You know, some of the Psalms that stood out to us when we were going through this period, and I think I shared one before. I think it was Psalm 88 or 89, but it's basically like, God, you've forsaken me. I'm going to die. All my enemies are here, and you're not. You know, it was just a very difficult time. And I'm thankful that that kind of stuff is in the Bible, because people experience these things. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's experienced a difficult, dark time, whether it's related to fertility or something else. And so we went through this grieving process. I went through a healing process. I engaged in counseling, and that was really helpful. Because as much as I had these other things, it was still hard. It was still really, really crushing. And I shared in November, I shared that it was the death of a dream. I shared that particular, and I used that language very carefully, because that's how it felt to me. Because when you're growing up, and I talked that day about how we sometimes make an unspoken contract with God, where we say, okay, God, I'll follow you, I'll serve you, and I love you, and you're good, and I trust you, but I expect my body to be healthy and to be able to reproduce, right? For example, that was our example. We don't think it through, we don't think about it consciously, but somehow in our minds, in our hearts, we have these unwritten contracts that, as long as things are going as expected, I can trust God. And so we had an experience where God said, I never signed that contract. Yeah, I'd signed it. Tara had signed it. Didn't have God's signature on it, right? And so it was a real challenge to us. Challenge is probably too light of a word, but it was a real ordeal for us to come to understand that God was good, God is good, that we could trust him, even though he didn't fulfill what we thought was the contract we had agreed to. Even if we couldn't conceive and have a child. And so when I shared in November, that was where I was at. The series was on grace, and I shared God's grace. And I wasn't making that up. I wasn't being dishonest when I shared that we were at peace. It took a long time to get there, but we had come to a place of peace. And we knew that if we ever had a child or not, that we would serve God and we would love God because he's good and because he loves us and he has a good plan. And that's where we ended up. Until a week later. So what happened that day when I shared, it was really beautiful. And the gentleman was asked not to be named, but a gentleman from our congregation and his wife came up to pray for us, and he felt so strongly that we were mistaken, basically. And he was very gentle about it. He wasn't being rude. He just said, you know, the dream is not dead. This dream is not dead, and we want to pray for you. So Tara and I said, okay, sure, like, that's great. Like, I'm not opposed to having a child, of course. And so he prayed for us. And I think he represents the response that many of you had, because I know for a fact he wasn't the only one. And as I went through the next couple of weeks, as we were doing things here in the church, getting towards Christmas, I had so many of you come and say, we're praying for you. In fact, we had another couple come to us maybe a couple months later, and we were actually pregnant by then, and share, I just feel like God is speaking to me and saying, you're going to have a child. And we were able to share, actually we are, which was amazing. And so we were so thankful for them, because I think that I needed to go through, and Tara and I needed to go through what we went through, and I'll speak about that in a moment. But I am so thankful for the faith of this church, for your faith, when I just didn't have the faith, just to be completely honest. I'm so thankful for your faith. I needed to, I think, go through this grief and be able to let it go, but you needed to have faith, and you did, and I was so thankful for that. And so I was so encouraged as people were praying, as people were believing for us. And so I shared in November 8th, and I mean, it's never a direct or an exact calculation, but by our calculation, we conceived a week later. And we, of course, didn't find out then, but we found out probably early December that we were pregnant. And we were just blown away. We were just amazed because we had been through all of this stuff. We'd been through the ringer. We'd grieved it. We were, honestly, our response at first was, of course, joy, but at the same time, like, oh, we had kind of like made some plans, you know? We were going to maybe travel or, I don't know, we were going to join a sports team or do all these things. Like, what? It was a bit of a surprise because we had genuinely come to this place of peace. And of course, there was nerves because we'd had a miscarriage and all those things. But God was so faithful to us. And the journey of pregnancy was not easy as well because Tara's unicorn uterus was a challenge. Our baby was literally folded in half. He was what's called Frank Breech the entire time. And so I think some of you saw, I think we shared a picture maybe the second week after he was born. And you can see we have the first picture. He came out. He was born by C-section. It was very quick. I almost passed out. I had to leave the room because I got to share this story. I love sharing this story. So you're sitting, I don't want to get too gross, but you're sitting, you know, imagine this is where Tara's head is, okay, and then there's a sheet, right? So you're sitting by her head, and she can't feel the pain, and any women who have a C-section, you know what I'm talking about. You can feel the pressure, okay? And so I'm sitting there talking to her. I'm bad with blood. I'm bad with needles, and she's looking at me, and her eyes just keep going, like, you know, like getting wide. And I'm like, okay, hang in there. I'm telling her a story. I'm being so strong, right? Just being tough. I'm a freckled hurricane. I can handle this, you know? And so I'm holding her hand. I'm talking to her. And then all of a sudden, and it happens so fast, say, oh, your baby's out. And there was a little concern. He wasn't crying. And I don't know if they always cry, but, you know, he was preemie. So they were rushing him to the incubator and all those things. But they pull the baby out. I see blood. I see my goopy baby because, you know, they don't come out clean. It's not like the movies. And I see blood, and I'm, oh, okay. I need to walk out of here. So the anesthesiologist is like, hey, come with me. She's right there. Don't look, okay? Don't look. And then so I got out, and I'm going to demonstrate. I get out to the pre-op room, and I just lie down on the floor. Oh, oh. And if you've ever passed out, I've come very close. I never have. But you know the tinglies, right? You can feel the tinglies coming. And so these nurses are running in and out because it's sort of, you know, with a baby like Carter, he was premature. There was a little bit of trouble breathing. So the nurses are running in and out. And they're all saying, do you want the bed? Are you okay? Get on the bed. You're right in the middle of the floor. And so I got up, I got on the bed, and I was like, oh, I'm okay, I just need the tingles to pass. Woo! That's my boy! Woo, he's real! So, yeah, I like to say it was probably about 40% emotional, 60% the blood and guts, right? But I was able to collect myself and come back in, and then they said, do you want to cut the cord? And I was like, be a man, be a man, be a man. And I did! I did. I pulled it off. But it was pretty wild. It was pretty wild. But we are so thankful, and God was so faithful along the way of that pregnancy. There was a couple scares, and we just had an incredible doctor, and they gave some steroid shots earlier on to help the lung development. And he was in the hospital for about 3 weeks, about 19 days in the NICU. And I got to tell you, when you first have that baby, Tara's getting sewed up, you know, and all that stuff, and I went with him to the NICU, to the hospital, the nursery there, and you're just sitting there watching him breathe, and she's in the other room, and you're like, well, it's all different now. Everything's changed. Goodbye, sleep. But it was such a beautiful moment too, because he could, you know, he's breathing, he's alive. At first it was like, you know, like that. And so we were a little scared, but the nurse was so good. And she's like, he's okay, he's fine. And we have just been so blessed, to, if I could use that word, by this miracle. This is a miracle. Yeah, thank you. And so that's our story. That's our story in this area. And you know what's funny? Looking back now, because I had a dream about January of last year. And Tara had a similar dream around the same time. And I dream, Elaine and I both are getting ordained within the next few months. I'm hoping December, she's probably New Year. And to go through this process, you go to these retreats. They're at Stillwood, it's a beautiful place in Chilliwack, it's a camp. And I had a dream that Tara and I were at this camp, at this retreat, and I knew this is January, so I had one more to go that we just did in September. And we had a little baby at this camp. And in the dream, it was a girl, but anyways, we had this little baby. And I just told Tara, and I thought about it, and I wrote it down, and didn't think much of it. I thought, okay, well, God, you know. I mean, this could be just me. It could be you speaking. I don't know. And then Tara had a very similar dream where she was at this retreat with me, and we had this baby, and he was, you know, the baby was lying. I don't know if it was a he or she, but the baby was lying on the bed. And it was amazing because a couple weeks ago, we went to this retreat with Carter, and we had him there. And we're like, we dreamed this. This is so crazy. Like, God was speaking to us, and we didn't know what to make of it. We didn't know what to do with it. But he was speaking to us and just giving us this comfort and this hope that, yeah, I'm going to do a miracle. And so as I sat at that retreat, as I entered into worship and participated in the sessions, I just couldn't stop smiling because I looked back over the last 2 years. We had a tough 2014. Tara and I called 2015 our scab year. You know, things were healing, but things were still tough. But I looked back and I said, wow, God, you've been so good. Because I'm finishing this project, and sure, it's not an official thesis, but I'm getting credit for it. And I couldn't imagine a better pastor to have come than Pastor Jim. I'm so thankful for him and his ministry and the team that we have here. I'm so thankful to be part of this team. You know, and so God just brought healing in that area. God's brought so much healing in Tara's family. And we were sitting there holding our son. It was amazing. I just couldn't believe it. And so I was just so thankful for God's faithfulness and for him to do this miracle. And so what I want to do here is I want to share two thoughts on miracles. Two just kind of ideas here. And then we'll conclude. The first thing is this. Miracles, they don't erase the suffering. Miracles don't erase the suffering, but they bring new meaning and even joy to the experience. Tara and I still suffered. Having Carter, having this miracle, doesn't go back and erase the tears that we cried, the difficult conversations that we had with each other and with God. The fact that God did a miracle in our lives doesn't erase the suffering. And in fact, I'm starting to think that there's some truth to the idea, because Jesus went through death in order to rise again, that sometimes we have to go through suffering. Not necessarily to achieve a miracle, I'm not saying that, but we have to go through suffering rather than around it to get to the place that God wants us to be, right? And so the miracle doesn't eliminate the suffering we experienced. In my mind, and I'm honestly still trying to work out what all this means, but in my mind, I think the dream still died for us, but we serve a resurrecting God. We serve a resurrecting God. And so those who came to pray with us in person or who were praying for us in your homes, you believe in resurrection. You believe that God brings life from the dead, just like we were singing beautiful songs today about how God is a life-giving God. And so I want to encourage you, if you're in a season where you're experiencing suffering or the dream is dying, I want to encourage you that God still can bring life. Maybe you won't experience that until heaven, until the resurrection. But I believe that God does bring life now, today as well. Okay? And so the suffering does not eliminate, or the miracle does not eliminate the suffering, but it does bring new meaning and joy to that experience. I was writing, actually, I only got a few pages in, but I was trying to write. Tara gave me some notes of sort of our story, and I was trying to write it this you know, as a fiction, as a novel type of thing. And I had in my mind to end it with no baby, just kind of end it. And I'm sure people could relate to that experience and all those things. Now we have a new ending. Doesn't eliminate the story, right? But it's a new ending. We'll see if I ever get around to that. I have about 19 projects on the go at one time, anytime. But we serve a God who walks with us in our suffering. He was with us in our suffering. He hadn't abandoned us. But he brings life into our situations. He brings new purpose and new meaning. So that's the first thing. Miracles don't necessarily erase the suffering that we've experienced. And they shouldn't. I think that brings depth to our lives. And the second is, and Pastor Jim was laughing about this. He really was encouraging me about this part. Miracles require maintenance. God did not give us a super baby. He cries. We had to change his outfit 3 times this morning. There are so many bodily fluids. I never knew so many could change an outfit or ruin an outfit. He's a screamer. Likes to scream. Just because God gives us a miracle doesn't mean that we don't have responsibility, that we don't live in the natural world with where there's still sickness and there's still death. So we have to do the most natural thing with the supernatural gift God has given us, and that's be parents. And if you've experienced miracles, you probably know what I'm talking about, that you wake up the next morning and maybe God has healed you physically. Well, now you have to go to work, and now you have to do the things that you're called to do or you're responsible for. And so miracles are not an escape from the natural world that we live in. In fact, I would say that they're an intervention or God's working in that natural world. God made it, surely he can work in it, right? And so just because God gives a miracle doesn't mean that we don't have responsibilities, doesn't mean that our lives are suddenly perfect, doesn't mean that we're perfect. We're still going to experience struggles and difficulties as well. And so the miracle that God gives us does require maintenance. Not that we have to keep praying to keep the miracle alive. I'm not saying that. But what I do mean is that we still have natural lives to live and responsibilities to execute, even though God has done a miracle. So those are my two thoughts. And I want to conclude with this. Having said those two things, this is what this experience has really taught me. This is what it means to me. I've always believed in this, okay? I've always believed that God does miracles. I've always believed in a God who brings life. But now I've seen it. Now I've experienced it in a new way. I've come to believe in a God, the God we worship, the God of the Bible, in a God who is, in a fundamental way, about bringing in and renewing life. There's this great song that I heard. It's called When You Walk Into the Room. And it's this whole idea of, you know, imagine Jesus physically kind of walked into the room. And the lyrics talk about how, you know, sickness starts to vanish and the dead begin to rise because there's resurrection life in all you do. And I believe that on a fundamental level, the God we serve is about bringing about and renewing life. I can't help but believe that in my life, that God is renewing me, that God is renewing my situation, that God is renewing the world that we inhabit through me, that God is bringing life into my situation and into my heart and into my being. Now, this doesn't mean that I'm naively optimistic, okay? Doesn't mean that I ignore the troubling realities of our world. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of abuse. But I am relentlessly hopeful. I can't help but hope because Jesus is alive. And Jesus is bringing life to us. People don't just come back to life, right? This is at the heart of what we believe and what we preach as Christians, is that there was this man, Jesus, and he died, but now he's alive. And he didn't just come back to life, you know, the story of Lazarus, that Jesus rose him from the dead, and it was a powerful miracle. But the reality is Lazarus still died. He was still a natural person. He still lived in the natural world. So eventually he got to live a little longer, and then he passed away. But we believe that Jesus not only rose, he rose eternally. That he is still alive. And I believe that this is what transformed more than, well, I don't want to say more than anything else because there's so much going on there, but this is, I think, what transformed the disciples' understanding of who Jesus was and what the gospel was about. The Holy Spirit came on them. That's what empowered them to preach. But when they preached resurrection. When they preached, they always preached that Jesus rose from the dead. Because whoever was listening, whether it was the Jewish people who didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, whether it was the Greek people who did not believe that people rose from the dead, this reality, this truth, just kind of crashed right into their worlds and was like, oh my goodness, this is something different. This is something real. They couldn't help but preach it, and that was the heart of their message. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. This is Peter's famous sermon in Acts chapter 2. So he's preaching to the crowd. They've received the Holy Spirit. And this is how he wraps it up. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, Jesus, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. And so that was the message that the disciples preached, and that is still today the message that we preach. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. That Jesus is alive. And because Jesus is alive, I believe that we serve a life-giving God. That there is no situation, there is no sin, there is no struggle too deep or too strong that he cannot bring life from the dead. And that's what God wants to do in your life. That's what God wants to do in all of our lives. I believe that. And so I want to give us an opportunity today to respond to this. Because I think there's people here who need a miracle. There's people here who need God to bring life into your dead situation, whether it's physical in your body or something spiritual that you're going through or even finances or personal, things like that. God wants to bring life into your dead situation. So we're going to take a minute to do that in a moment. But first of all, if you're here and you don't know Jesus today, or you wouldn't say that you have a relationship with this Jesus, I want to tell you that he is here for you. That when we come together and we sing these songs and we listen to some guy talk about Jesus in the Bible, it's not because that's the tradition we grew up in. It's not because our parents did it. It's not because we live in Canada and that's what people do. It's because we have encountered Jesus. And we can't help but sing with joy. We can't help but love each other. We're not perfect, but we try. We can't help it, though, because Jesus has entered into our hearts and is changing us from the inside. It's bringing life where there was death. I want to give you an opportunity to know that Jesus, to welcome the living Jesus into your heart. The Bible says that when you accept him, he comes to dwell in you. He makes his home in you by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. He comes into you and makes his home in you, and he begins to transform you from the inside. A lot of people think that sometimes this is all about following the rules and following the traditions. No. This is about being transformed from the inside. Being people who are alive in a world that is dying. And maybe you're there and you said, you know what, I've tried a lot of different things, a lot of different philosophies or ideas, and something in me feels dead. I want to tell you that the only way to be alive, both now and forever, is Jesus. And he loves you so much. You don't have to clean up to come to him. You don't have to fix anything up to come to him. You just say, Jesus, I want you in my life. And so what we're going to do right now, I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes. We don't want to single anybody out or embarrass anybody. We're going to give you a chance to respond today. If you would like to receive Jesus into your life, if you would like to have him come in, forgive your sins, make you alive, would you be willing to just raise your hand? Nobody's looking at you. Nobody's looking around. Would you just raise your hand? Just going to give you that opportunity. Thanks. I see that up there in the balcony. It's going to give you a moment. Yeah, I see you in the back of the main floor here. Thank you. Going to give one more moment here. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to pray after me, and I'm going to ask everyone to join in. And let's just pray this prayer. Why don't you pray after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for coming and dying for my sins. And thank you that you didn't stay dead. I ask you now to come into my heart. Please forgive me for the things I've done wrong. Please come and make me new. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to tell you that you've made an incredible and life-changing decision. And we would like to talk to you. We would like to give you a Bible. We would like to share just how you can grow, how you can get to know God. Because what you're doing is you're entering onto a journey. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a journey of walking with God, of having him bring that life into you. Maybe you didn't pray that prayer, but you have questions, you want to know more. We're going to have people up at the front praying to pray for people. And if you just want to come and ask some questions, if you want to know more, we'd love to talk to you as well. But why don't we stand right now, and I'm going to ask the prayer team to come down. Because we need to pray for miracles. I believe, especially today, that there are people here who are going through the same kind of fertility issues, and I want to pray for that. And so if that's you, I want to encourage you to come down. There's no shame in it. I'm being honest with my story because I believe that we need to talk about this stuff because I know I'm not the only one. I know we weren't the only ones. We want to pray for you especially for that. But if there's any other thing, if you need a physical healing, if you need God to move in your situations, I know there are people maybe who need housing or financial provision. There are people who need a miracle at work. There are people who need a miracle in their families. You have children and grandchildren who need to know Jesus. We want to pray for you. And we want to believe for a miracle. And I want to encourage you to persevere because God is good. And persevere not only in enduring and dealing with the things you're going through, but persevere in faith, persevere in trusting in him. This isn't a formula, okay? There's no automatic type of thing here. But at the heart of this thing is this truth, that God is good and that he loves you. Prayer team, can you come forward? I'm just going to pray for us and I'm going to invite you. Yeah, go ahead, come forward, find a spot. I'm going to invite you to come on up. Lord God, I thank you that you are a God who brings life from the dead. Thank you, Lord, that you look into our lives and there's things that are not and you call them out as though they were. Lord, that you just are irresistibly bringing renewal and transformation in life in us. So I pray, Lord, for miracles. I pray for a powerful touch from you. I pray, Lord, for freedom, Lord, from addiction, for freedom from bondage, Lord God. I pray, Lord, for miracle children in this congregation, Lord God. I just believe for that and I pray for that, Lord God, that you would just bring out a blessing of babies, Lord. And Lord, I pray for healing touch on people's bodies and minds as well. Lord, you are a miracle working God, and we believe that you are here, that your kingdom is among us, that you are present today, that you haven't forgotten or abandoned us. So we just want to pray in belief and in faith for you to do a miracle in our lives today. So we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We just pray, Lord, that you would move today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to come forward for prayer. Go ahead.